The first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending a temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you are straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's message was the gospel lesson, and it's one of the more well-known parables that Jesus taught. On one hand, you have a very pastoral scene with a shepherd, a gatekeeper, a gate, and of course, sheep. On the other hand, you have the false shepherds, which were the thieves and the robbers. Jesus uses a number of images in this short parable to make his point. In other words, some things stand for something else. Like, for example, the Pharisees and the church leaders in the story were played by the thieves and the robbers. Now, the picture of sheep, shepherds, and flocks was not a new concept that Jesus was introducing. The Old Testament is filled with references to the people being sheep and the Lord being the good shepherd. And leaders like the kings and priests were seen as under-shepherds. Ezekiel had written in his prophecies that a good shepherd, a descendant of David, would rise up and sit on the throne, and he would gather the scattered flock to himself and care for it. The bad shepherds would finally be replaced by the one good shepherd. The point here is that Jesus is not only the descendant of David, but God's authoritative, representative, good shepherd. Now, there's different types of sheepfolds. Some have a fence around them. Others were open pasture land. and some of the sheep were kept on the, quote, the front lawn of the main house. But Jesus is talking about the ones that were inside a fenced-in area. There was two ways of getting to the sheepfold itself. One was to go through the front door. That's the way the good shepherd enters. Or you could enter by sneaking in, and those were the thieves and the robbers. As I said, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, and other church officials were the thieves and the robbers. They had gained their position by making false claims, and they were dangerous to the sheep. Jesus reveals them as dangerous phonies. He says, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate. Sub-shepherds, like the kings and priests of the Old Testament, were sub-shepherds just because they met God's holy standard for that role. In verse 3, it says, a gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The images of doors, gates, entry through a narrow gate are common images for Jesus. I could give examples for each one of them, like the narrow gate. He talks about the narrow door, that the road to heaven is a narrow road with a narrow door at the end where he is the doorkeeper. But these are common images for Jesus to use in his teaching. The point is there's only one proper way to enter the sheepfold, and that's by the keeper of the gate itself. The sheep hear his voice. The idea of hearing the voice of the shepherd, Jesus again is taking it from some of his other parables, the parables of the lost sheep. Remember when he lost one of them and he left the other 99 to seek the one that was lost? That was because there was a certain intimacy between a shepherd and his sheep. He cared about each and every one of them, if he was a good shepherd. Now, why do the sheep listen to Jesus' voice and not the religious leaders? Because they recognize Jesus' voice as the one who cares. The Pharisees' voice was a strange voice, like that of robbers and thieves. False shepherds cannot coax obedience. They can only coerce conformity. That's a lesson that good leaders could learn as well. I could put false leaders cannot coax obedience. They can only coerce conformity. But in verse 4, the good shepherd leads the sheep. This, as I said, there's many Old Testament allusions to sheep and shepherds. And the one I found for this was Numbers 27:17. Who shall go out before them and come in before them, and who shall lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord may not be like a sheep without shepherd. Not everybody got Jesus' parable of the sheep and the gate and the gatekeeper. So he explains it to them. The Pharisees got it. The Pharisees understood that he was attacking them and calling them thieves and robbers. But that the problem was they realized it was them who were the thieves and robbers, but their attitude would not allow them to repent of their sins. In verse 7, Jesus says, I am the gate of the sheep. In the Near East, it's still the custom to this day that a shepherd sleeps in the gateway of the sheep pen. There's not a physical door, but he sleeps right there, so the sheep cannot escape in the course of the night. And then in the morning, he's there to take them immediately out to the pasture land. The only way somebody has access to the sheep is if they come by the shepherd who's sleeping in the doorway. That's why Jesus says, I am the gate of the sheep. He's using that reference of sleeping in the gateway to protect the sheep. In verse 8, he says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. Now, we got to be careful we don't take that to mean all as in every last one, because then that would include ones like Moses and Abraham. But he's probably talking about the religious leaders of the previous 100 years, because in the previous 100 years, that's when you see the rise of the Pharisees as a class within Judaism itself. He says, Jesus then switches back to the gate where we will find pasture. This is an image for eternal life itself. Eternal pasture, health, and taken care of. Sounds like heaven to me. Thieves only come in to destroy and slaughter, which is the very picture of evil itself. Contrast that with, I came that they may have life abundantly. Then Jesus moves on to what it means to be the good shepherd. You know, we only follow under shepherds, which in modern day case, that's pastors and church leaders, if they're authentic representatives of Christ. And it applies to all the sheep, not just church leadership. And there's many bad examples of under-shepherds today. I would make the argument that today the Pope himself is a representative of a very bad under-shepherd, and I'd be willing to discuss that with anybody at any time. But they're easy to spot. They sound like Jesus, but their actions give them away. We recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd when we study his word. The best defense against a false shepherd or a thief and a robber, the best defense is to study his word. Without studying his word, we're easily duped into following a false shepherd. And we can tell a false shepherd by the results of the shepherd's voice. Does it end in death, or does it end in giving life? You know, if we feel empty of life, bored, bankrupt, even corrupt, that we have been led astray or let ourselves be duped by false and undeliverable promises. You know, unless the sheep recognize the voice of Jesus and the voice of the under-shepherd, they are not to follow or obey, but ignore. The Gospels, we know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are filled with accounts of Jesus clashing with the Pharisees. Now, Jesus still loved these sheep as well, the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and other religious leaders. Now, they held their positions because of a supposed moral code. But most of the Pharisees were hypocrites. Now, as I said, Jesus cared about them equally, but that does not mean he condoned their behavior. He wanted them to repent. He was trying to bring them to repentance by his many teachings. And by their fruits, you will know them. Matthew 23:3 says, the Pharisees knew that Jesus was speaking about them under the image of false shepherds. Now, is everyone a hypocrite to one degree or another? Oh, come on. Yes, we are. We're all hypocrites one way or the other at various times. You know, the old church joke story, man came up to the pastor and says, I can't come to church, it's full of hypocrites. And the pastor says, you'll fit right in. But what I'm talking about hypocrites is an institutionalized hypocrisy that's warned against. It's where the official church teachings is hypocrisy itself. Like, for example, taking priests who were known pedophiles and moving them from parish to parish without telling the new parish what they were getting. That is a sign of false teachers or false under-shepherds. Jesus calls us to study his word and to recognize his voice. To only follow under-shepherds who shine forth the image of Christ. And lastly, we are all called to be faithful sheep who do not follow what tickles their own ears or what they want to hear. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.